Hey, it's so good to welcome you to Fields Church Online, and we are so pleased that you've tuned in for this message. No matter what's going on in your world right now, we pray that you come away feeling encouraged by this message.
Now's the part of our service where if you feel like God has been speaking to you about anything in the service or in this week that you think will encourage us as a body, as a church, then we'd love for you to have the opportunity to share that. If you are a regular with us and you call Fields Church your home, please just come straight up and take the mic. If you're a visitor here with us, we'd still love to hear from you, but if you could just speak to Pastor Richard on the front row first, that would be amazing. This morning before our service, we were praying about keys and about the things that keys unlock on earth, but the things that Jesus can unlock as the ultimate key to heaven, and how there's things often that we are asking God to unlock for us, and the key is Jesus. And the words in that first song, I just love it when God ties it all together. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. And somebody prayed this morning that actually when we give our lives to Jesus, we're almost doing a house swap. Like an exchange, the key to our heart for the key to heaven and to God's kingdom. But sometimes we put bolts and padlocks and things on our side of the doors that God's trying to unlock. So I just love to pray that over us this morning, that God doesn't just unlock those, but he breaks them so they can't be relocked. So God, I just pray over every heart in this place for all of the things that we long for, all of the things that we pray for, all of the questions that we need answered. God, we thank you that you are the key. And just help us when the temptation is to keep those doors closed or put our own locks on some of those doors to things that are in our heart. Help us to open those doors up to you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, help us to keep those doors open. Reveal those doors to us.
Just as you were praying there, Kim and Lee, about answers, just as we were worshipping at the end there, I saw Jesus lifted up, and it was like every question that we have, he is the answer to every question. Where are we looking at the moment? There are people here who are looking for answers and are desperate for areas of their lives to be unlocked and they're looking to men, they're looking to circumstances, they're looking to relationships, people to change their minds, perhaps for doctors to have an answer, whatever it might be. And you're looking to that for your answer. And I feel like God is saying, no, look to me for your answer. Whatever your question is this morning, I am your answer. Your eyes have got to be on me first and always.
Church last week, wow. If you weren't here last week, God did something, and I believe he's going to do it again. So what I'd really do, yeah, amen. What I'd really like to do is encourage you to be here as often as you can. So maybe it's just the beginning of what God wants to do in our church. And if you're not in a life group, I'd also encourage you to get in contact with a life group, because if you're not here on Sunday, you can find out what happened on Sunday in your life group. And I sent a bit of a teaser out last week about, oh, there wasn't a sermon last week, but if you want to find out what happened, come to life group on Wednesday. And there was a expectancy and a bit of excitement as to what happened and what was missed. So, yeah, be here as often as you can, because God's doing something. And he wants us to be involved. Thank you.
So now, no. I just got the word bitterness. And in light of what I've just shared about looking to Jesus, I picture somebody who's really bitter because of a relationship. And they won't move, they won't change their heart until they see that person who they're bitter against change. And it's almost like they've set up a block. There's something in somebody's life here that they're really struggling with a relationship, and they're desperate for the other person to change their attitude or something that they say before they will move. And I think the Lord is saying, don't look to that person to change to be your answer. Look to me to be your answer. I want to be the one who resolves your bitterness and takes your pain and heals your heart. And if you look to me, then I can work in those around you too. But until you change your gaze, until you change the center of your attention away from that person to me, things won't move. Oh, we have a prayer team afterwards. I don't want to embarrass anybody here. If you're speaking to somebody here this morning, then we have a prayer team. It's important that we confess these things, share these things to resolve them, and help us to meet with God's forgiveness in these things.
Thank you, Andrew. If you want to know more about life groups that have been mentioned, or about Sundays, or when I was talking earlier on about the Friday email, and you're thinking, what is she talking about? We can connect you. So please come and speak to me afterwards, or speak to somebody on the welcome team, and they'll give you a connect card. And we'll get your details filled in, and we'll make sure that you're up to speed with everything that's going on. So I would like to invite up Pastor Richard, who's going to share the word with us this morning. Thank you so much, band. Thank you.
Just morning, gonna, church. Oh, that's loud.
Just going to pray for you.
Oh, thank you.
Father, thank you for Richard willing to be a vessel for your word, for your light, for your truth, for your love this morning. So pray that you would help us to hear all that you have for us through him today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Morning, church. How are we all doing? Turn to your neighbour and say, you're looking amazing this morning. No one said it to me yet, but anyway, that's all right. Ah, oh, praise Jesus. We're looking good, aren't we? Okay, just before I start, I just want to thank all the volunteers. So for those who do welcome, those who serve on cafe, on set up, on set down, the band, production, kids' church, youth, the prayer team, anywhere where you serve, I just want to thank everybody for serving every week. Esther and I are going to be away next week. We're going to go away for half term. But the amazing Josh Hunt, this young man over here, is going to share a great message next week. So tell your neighbor, be here. Tell your neighbor on the other side, be here because you're going to hear something. Go on. Be here because you're going to hear something. Come on, I can't hear you. Yeah. That you might not have even heard before. Oh, no pressure. No pressure, Josh. The bar has been set really high. Sunday the 29th is our family service, and the 5th of November is we're going to talk about our transition journey, where we are as a church, where we're going, and so on. Well, I'm going to go off into... If you've got your Bibles, just turn with me to Romans 1:20. Thank you. And we're going to go off into Genesis. We're talking about the Godhead. I'm going to pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. First of all, we thank you for salvation. How many times do we thank God for our salvation? I thank you, Father God, for this church. Thank you for these precious people that you've given us charge over. I'm just the under shepherd to the good shepherd. And I thank you, Father God, as I share the word of life today, because it brings life. These are words of life. I thank you, Father God, that every here. I thank you for my words. Your word is like a seed that will go into the heart, which is the soil. And I will believe it will produce a harvest in Jesus' name. And if you love the Lord, you'll say amen. We're going through this series called The Godhead. I just want to show you a verse where the Godhead is mentioned so you don't see that I'm just dreaming this stuff up. And then past this verse 1, Romans 1:20, we're going to go straight into Genesis 1. And we're going to have a look at that. Romans 1:20 says this, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes," I love that, "are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." So that's where we get the word Godhead from, "so that they are without excuse." I believe the word Godhead means divine or divinity. That's what it means. So this morning I'm going to carry on and we're going to look at God the Creator. So if you've got your Bibles, go with me to Genesis 1 verse 1. You know, again, we've got to study for ourselves. I'm here to share a message this morning, and I'm not telling you what to believe. You shouldn't just believe everything that you hear from a pulpit, or everything if you go online and listen to a sermon. You mustn't believe everything that you hear. You need to study the Bible for yourself. This is the whole point. This really is the whole point. Has anyone been taught how to study the Bible? Gee, that is telling, isn't it? There's just a few people. How many people have not been taught how to study the Bible? Oh, many people. Because some people say, "Oh, where do I begin? I've become a Christian. Where do I begin?" We'll start in Genesis. And you go to Genesis and you go through the other. Then you get to Leviticus. And then, you know, you just want to, you know, you don't want to read it. And you put it down and say, "I don't understand it." I think that's really interesting. Maybe we need to do a series on how we teach the Bible, how you learn how to read the Bible and understand it a little bit more. Because sometimes we don't understand what we read. Am I the only one? You look at some passages of Scripture, you think, "Gee, what's that? I don't know what that means." Well, you've got the Holy Spirit living within you. Ask him to help you when you study your Bible. It's funny, that song we sang about Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. I know a lot of Christians say, "I don't know why we sing songs like that, because Jesus lives within us." I get that, but you know, in a lot of churches, the Holy Spirit isn't welcome. That's shocking, isn't it? Anyone been in? No, I won't ask that question. No, I'm not going to ask that question. Okay. So there are varying doctrinal beliefs and trains of thought and theories around Genesis. And if we don't understand Genesis, we're not going to understand the rest of the Bible. It is key. It is key to learning everything about our Bibles, why Jesus came and why God created everything. And my aim isn't to tell you or convince you about what to believe, but my encouragement is so you can study the Bible for yourself. Study truth for yourself. I don't know about you. I've been a Christian 41 years now, and I'm still astounded about the things that I read, even familiar verses of Scripture, even familiar themes that I go through, and I get revelation out of the Word. We're going to get revelation the more we read it. Is that right? Like children in school, they learn repetitively, don't they? And we should do the same. I really believe that's really important. So is there anyone here that knows everything? I'm not going to put my hand up either as well, because I'm learning. I'm still learning, and I'm hungry to learn more about. Yeah, that someone's pointing to someone who's the oracle in the church, but I don't know whether he knows everything anyway. But in the beginning, when was that? Oh, thank you, Steve. In the beginning, God. Everyone say that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The first thing we see there is that before there was anything else, there was God. It doesn't say in the beginning man. If we want a true record of what happened in the beginning, we're going to find it in here. There might be lots of other books out there that talk about the beginning, lots of theories out there that talk about the beginning. Now, we can read those and maybe get an understanding from another point of view, or we could read this, because why should we read this? This is important. This is an eyewitness account of the beginning, of creation, of everything we learn about our world. And people are really not going to their Bibles to read it. I was listening to a part of a message this morning, and this guy was talking about the very importance of the Word of God. And he said there are some people in some countries that have only got one page. I've heard stories like that before. One page of a Bible, and 12 people are huddling around this page and can't believe that they've got the Word of God to read for themselves. Just one page. There are some countries you're not allowed to share your faith or read your Bible. If they know you're a Christian, in some countries, they might kill you. That's heavy, isn't it? Do we see that on our news? We've got missionaries overseas that are telling us, I've gone off to this mountain country and I've been up there and I've been attacked. Or someone threatened me. Pastor Bell in India, many times he's threatened with his life. And yet he still goes out and preaches. Why is that? People need truth. Are we going to get truth from anything we see in our world? When we turn on the news, do we really get truth? I don't think so. Where are we going to get truth? From our Bibles. So, if we want a true record of creation, let's look to the one who actually was there and who created everything. You know, God, it's just amazing. I get up early to pray on a Sunday, and it was dark this morning, so I got in my office, put my heater on, because it was pretty chilly. And I watched this, well, I didn't see that. I was saying, I'm going to watch the sunrise this morning. You know, it didn't rise. Well, it did, but it was just cloud out there. But I praise God for the cloud, don't you? That weird pastor, thanks God for the clouds. I thank God for the sunshine as well. But we need clouds, don't we? We need rain, don't we? Sometimes. Like the farmer. You know, he wants rain, then he wants sunshine. Pray for rain, pray for sunshine. I just don't know. Okay. I said a week ago that word for God, right there in that verse, is the word, who can remember what it is in the Hebrew? Anyone? Julie said it. Elohim, and that's the plural form of God. So we can see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were present at creation. So that's the Godhead. We can see, we saw clearly a couple of weeks ago that everything was created through Jesus and for Jesus. Yeah, everything that God created was for His glory. It's for our enjoyment, but it is for His glory. So that man can look out and say, gee, there is a God. You know, everybody knows in their heart that there is a God, but they deny it. That's what Romans talks about. Go and read Romans 1 and read all the way through that. People are without excuse. They're without excuse. If we can't see God in creation, then that's a sad thing, isn't it? Anyway, let's have a look at this. Go to Genesis 1:2 for me. I'm going to mention a couple of things this morning that you might not have heard about, you might have heard about, and we're going to have a look at that. Right, the earth was without form and void, And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, who? The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Can you imagine picturing that? What kind of picture do you have of the Holy Spirit just hovering over the waters? Here we can clearly see the Holy Spirit in play during creation. Now, with regard to creation, there are two possible views or theories. There are many, but there are two possible views or theories I want to mention briefly this morning. Have you heard? Firstly, we're going to have a look at the traditional view of creation. The traditional view of creation is God creating the earth in six literal days. And we're going to have a look at what that word day means. We're going to have a look at some of these words and unpack them and just see what they mean. So the other theory is this. There's the gap theory. Anyone heard of the gap theory? Anyone sort of studied that or looked into it? Some interesting sorts of things. The gap theory is an interpretation of Genesis 1, which puts a time lapse between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. That there's a gap of time, maybe thousands, maybe billions of years between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. So those who take this view in Genesis maybe think that there was an earth that was before that was destroyed, and then God refurbished or recreated the earth that they had. That there was an earth before that. That's what I'm reading myself. Gap theorists may take the view of an old earth up to maybe 16 billion years old. However, those who understand Genesis 1, taking a literal view of creation, believe that the world was created between about 6 to 10,000 years ago. That's what they believe. Now again, from Adam, if we look at the genealogies in Genesis, the human race was created 6,000 years ago. From Adam to Christ, 4,000 years. From Christ to now, 2,000 years. Now, I don't want to get too deep into this, but what I'd like you to do is go and look these things up for yourself and study for yourself. I think that's a good thing, isn't it? Say amen if you want. If it's not a good thing, then don't do that. Sadly, we rely on too many other people to teach us. You're not going to get everything you need to know on a Sunday morning from me or anyone else that stands up here. Oh, I just wish my church would feed me. Well, how long have you been a Christian? Come on now, let's get real with things. How long have you been a Christian? Can you feed yourself? If you go home, Danny, at lunchtime and say to Kimmy, feed me, what's she going to say? Would she say that? That's pretty harsh. I'd say, you're here to serve me. Where's the roast dinner? Is it on? Is the roast dinner on? What does that, what does that, I love food. What does that conjure up? I'll make the service really short so we can all rush off and get a takeaway or go to the, yeah, but we love our food, don't we? But it's no good. You're a grown man, Danny. You've got to feed yourself. It's the same with the Word of God. Please, in some countries, this is banned. In some countries, if they catch you with this, they'll kill you. Heard of stories about guys smuggling Bibles into China. Underground, there's an underground church in our world, and those are the ones, they're the churches that are growing. The persecuted world is growing. The persecuted people in churches around the world, they're growing and thriving. Why? Because they're so hungry. And it's great. I'm glad you're hungry because you're here. Tell your neighbor, say thank you for being here today. Steve said, you know, we need to be here. During lockdown, I couldn't wait to get to church. It was, how long were we during lockdown when we couldn't go to church? It was, as a pastor, that's terrible for me. I go every week. I've got to be here. Come on, I've got to set the example. How many of you were thinking, if only we could just gather together? And yet people still want to miss church. And I know there's valid reasons why sometimes. The Bible says, don't neglect the gathering together of the saints. Why is that? The previous verse tells us so that we can stir one another up to love and good deeds. I want to stir you up, Kimini, this morning. To love and good deeds. I want to stir you up, Danny, this morning. I hope you're stirred. I'll be upset if she didn't make me lunch. Anyway. So regardless of what we believe, let's not fall out about it. Regardless of what we believe, if it's a young earth or an old earth, let's not fall out about it. But let's look at God for the answers. Not in some book that you've read that some famous person has written. Is that all right? Are you with me? This message I was listening to this morning, this guy was talking about, it's current, this message today that he was talking about is how we are to look to the Word of God, not everything else. It's really important that we do that. If you want to know how to live, read your Bible. Want to know how to, you know, what a good marriage should be like? There's a blueprint for marriage in the Bible. You want to know how to bring up kids? It's in the Bible. Want to know how to live a godly life? It's in the Bible. You want to know how to handle your finances? It's in the Bible. Not in other books. Other books are good, but they can take you off. A friend of mine who I led to the Lord when I first got saved, came to church, and he was really hungry. And then some thoughtful Christian who thought they were doing something nice for the guy said, look, I've got all these books for you to read. And he started reading the books and didn't read his Bible. And he got so caught up reading the books that he didn't read his Bible anymore. And he was too busy that he didn't come to church anymore. And he backslid. That's just sad, isn't it? Anyway, what should be our response to creation? I know I said, keep your place in Genesis. You don't have to go there. We just go to Hebrews 11:3. I'll do that. By faith. Everyone say by faith. How are we to receive these words? I don't understand everything in here, but I believe it. I might not understand it, but I believe. I don't know why. Why? Why is it? Because I've got to place my trust and my faith in God. Is that right? By faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God spoke. He didn't wave his hand. I'll just wave my hand and the sun comes. No, he spoke those things into being. Framed by the Word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Can we see, has anyone seen God? How do we really know that he exists if we've not seen him? We do that by faith, don't we? Yeah, anyone seen Jesus? Jesus is appearing to people. These days, a lot of Muslims saying that Jesus appeared to them. We can see that you won't see it in your newspapers because they never show those things on the news. But Jesus is revealing himself to people. Why is that? In these last days, we're in these last days. We've got to stay so close to God. Because of all the conflicts that are going on in the world, it can put fear into people. And I'd encourage you to pray for every conflict that's in our world. There's too many of them. We need to do that on a daily basis. And it's not about taking sides. It's really not about taking sides. Do you think God wants those things to happen? Some people say there's no God, and then they blame God for all this stuff that goes wrong in the world. Blame God for the wars. My father-in-law once said to me wise words. He said, it's man's inhumanity to man. God called Adam to have dominion over everything, but not over man. But people want dominion over other people, don't they? You look at the history. Everyone wants to go to this country and go and conquer it. We see it all over the world, everywhere, in our history books. Shouldn't be. We believe by faith that God's word is true, even though we might not understand it. Do we believe it? We're to believe by faith that all we see God created. Some may hold, we're going to go back to Genesis in a minute, I promise. Some may hold the view of a pre-Adamic race. Has anyone heard about that? A pre-Adamic race. Anyone heard about that? There's only three, maybe four people have heard of a pre-Adamic race. Let's have a look at this. So that's prior to Adam, right? So let's have a look at the next verse. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. And so it is written. Where are we going to get the truth about what I'm about to say? It's written. When Jesus was tempted in the devil, he didn't say, look, devil, I'm having a really bad day. Can you just leave me alone? He said three times, it is written. It is written. He referred him back to the Word of God. Devil knows the Word of God. And so it is written, the first man. Everyone say the first man. So what would that imply? There wasn't one before. That's what that would imply. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, who's that? Jesus became a life-giving spirit. I personally don't believe in a pre-Adamic race because of that statement in the Word of God right there. So this describes Adam as the first man. If there was a pre-Adamic race of people, did they die off? They must have died off. Is that right? But the Bible tells us death only entered the world once Adam sinned. I am going to get to Genesis, I promise. That pastor said, I'm going to get there, and we never get there. Are we there yet? Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. Who's that? That's Adam, isn't it? Therefore, just as one man sin entered the world and death spread to all men because all men sinned. So according to our Bible, Adam was created 6,000 years ago, so death only entered the world after that. What did God say to him in the garden? If you eat of the fruit, you're gonna die. You know, the fruit was a banana. It was very appealing. I know I've said that before, but the old ones are the best. The old ones are the best. Who likes a banana? I mean, Danny and Kimberly unzipped a banana each in front of me when I was standing there just before, and they didn't even offer me a piece. Or, you know, you could have had a third banana in your bag and said, would you like one as well? Bring a bunch. Can we see that? What was my, I lost my train of thought. What was I saying before that? I'm just seeing if you're awake. One man. Yeah, that's right. You're right. One man. I've even forgot it now. So it's all right. So death only entered the world then, right? And God said to Adam, if you eat the fruit, you're going to die. And what happened? He ate the fruit and that death is spiritual death, separation from God. He didn't die physically, but death entered the world from that time on until now. There was nothing before, no death before that. Do you understand? Did you know that the oldest computer was owned by Adam? Did you know that? It was an Apple. Oh, hang on. No, the best is yet to come. Yeah, well, I don't know. It might be. If you laughed at that bit, that's funny. That's all right. It had very little memory. One byte and everything crashed. I'm sorry. I'm an Apple fan. I'm never going to go back again to a little laptop. Come on. The Apple. Let's hear it for the Apple guys. Come on. Let's hear it for the other guys. Come on. You can have a cheer for them. Woo! There's a few of them. I think they outnumber us. That's okay. They're allowed to. Yeah, well, we got something that's perfect. Anyway. Come on, here. This is why we're here. Genesis 1:1. Okay. In the beginning, God. God what? I'm going to get the giggles now. No, I'm not. In the beginning, God what? Created. Who remembers what the Hebrew word for created was that we learned 2 weeks ago? Who takes notes? Come look at your notes. It's four letters. Bara. Who said that? Dom. Top man, Dom. Bara. What does that mean? That God created everything from nothing. That's what that means. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Without form and void simply means empty. And darkness was on the face of the deep. This doesn't necessarily mean that darkness, the darkness meant anything that was evil in the world at the time. It just means darkness. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the waters. Then, I love that, then God said, I believe in the Big Bang. I believe when God did that, said, I think there was a boom throughout everywhere. God's voice is loud. I think it was loud. He didn't just say, let there be light. You could imagine, let there be light, or light be, bang, and light came. One thing of interest to note here in verse 3, we had a discussion about this in our life group. This is why you've got to go to life group. Tell your neighbor, get in a life group. We had a brilliant, and we don't, sometimes if you don't study these things or look at it a little deeper, we can just read these verses. I could go from Genesis 1:1 all the way through to all the creation. God created man. God saw it was good and it was good. Lovely. What a lovely world we live in. And you wouldn't learn anything. But when you're learning and from other people and discussing, you know, God spoke the light into being on the first day. That's verse 3. But the sun, moon, and stars were only created on the fourth day. So when God said, let there be light, what was the source of that light? Where did it come from? Just think about that for a moment. Was that the glory of God? Jesus stepping into the frame. Because in heaven, there's no lights. You do realize that. You know, we haven't got to pay for electricity again. Or gas. Or food. I don't know what we're going to eat in heaven. I'm a bit perturbed about that now, Danny. I don't know what we're going to eat in heaven. I like my food. I don't know. Say again. You can order your favorites. Wow. Just get an angel. Angel, bring the menu. And you get a menu. I say that to my wife sometimes. Like, you're a wise man. You're a wise man. Should I quit now? Because my wife's a good cook. And I said, when are you going to get a menu? So I can choose. It's a joke. It's a joke. The pastor tells his wife what he wants cooking on the day. And he wants a menu. That's just a joke, all right? This is what the pastor said. He's a mean man. Okay. So just think about that. What was that source of light? Let's go to verse 4. And God said, and God saw the light. So he saw the light. Isn't that amazing? That it was good. And God, look at that, divided the light from the darkness. Underline that word, divided, the darkness. Underline that word, divided, in your Bible. So God divided the light from the darkness. It doesn't say that God eliminated the darkness. He said, divide the light from the darkness. It was only separated from light, giving us a period of daytime and a period of night. Let's look at verse 5. Verse 5. And God called the light day. Everyone say day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning. Everyone say that. And the evening and the morning were the first day. That Hebrew word for day is yom. A few around this day. What an interesting language. So there's a lot of dispute around this word day, whether it was 24-hour period. Let's have a look at this in a second. Now, the earth rotates on its axis. So according to this verse, if we take literally, we get a period of light and a period of darkness in any one 24-hour period. Do we see that in our world today? Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that these days aren't 100 years long? Hey, because Sunday's coming, you're going to have roast. That's 600 years, you've got to wait for a roast. Just think about that for a moment. I'm not trying to be funny. According to Dr. Google, because I'm not that clever. According to Dr. Google, all of our major measurements of time are based on astronomy, with one exception. The calendar is based on three key astronomical events. A day, which is the time from one sunrise to the next sunrise, one complete rotation of the earth. A year, which is approximately 365 days, one complete orbit of earth around the sun. A month, which is approximately 30 days, one complete orbit of the moon around the earth. The only major time that's not based on astronomy is the week. The week isn't an astronomical measurement of time. It's based on God's timetable of 7 literal days. So, after the 6 days of creation, we read in Genesis 2, verse 1. Now, I said a lot there. In Genesis 2, verse 1. Thus, the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the 7th day, God ended his work. He was pretty tired. Wouldn't you be after creating everything? On the 7th day, he ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the 7th day. Everyone say the 7th day. And he rested on the 7th day from all of his work which he had done. Verse 3. I love this. Then God blessed the 7th day and sanctified it. So what he did, he separated that day. That's going to be a day of rest for us. You shall work. How many days? 6 days? And rest on the 7th. Aren't you glad one day isn't 100 years? That's a long time to wait for Sunday for a rest. Then God blessed the 7th day and sanctified it because it rested it from all his work which God had created and made. So God says there's going to be 6 days of work and we're going to rest on the 7th. Then we start all over again, don't we? Sunday is the first day of the week. We come in church. That's Sunday, isn't it? Then we have 6 days of work and then we come to church on Sunday. So it was God who instituted the week. The week isn't based on our solar system, although early civilizations might dispute that. But who are we going to believe, God or man? Let's go back to verse 5 again. So that's Genesis 1, verse 5. And again, I'm going through this. I'm trying to do it as slow as I can, but I want you to go and study this for yourself. Don't just believe anything that I say, everything that I say, or anything everybody else says. Check it out for yourself. Genesis 1, verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening. Everyone say evening. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Right, I know you want to know this. The Hebrew for evening is the word Ereb, and it means sunset. That's what that word means. The Jews believed, according to Genesis 1:5, that their day would end at sunset. Then another day would begin. So from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., that's when their day starts. And the day ends, 6 a.m. in the morning till 6 p.m. in the evening. And then they get another cycle of day. Okay. Lastly, you'll be happy to know I'm coming to the end. I'm coming to Interland at the moment. But what we're going to do afterwards is we're going to play a song and we're going to worship God at the end when I've finished. Is that all right? Is that okay? So we can get into this. Okay. Right, lastly, the issue of a day. What does this mean? Because here's where the dispute is. And this is where people really get stuck with this and they argue amongst one another. What does a day literally mean? Is it literal one day, 24-hour period? Is it a period of 100 years? Is it a period of 5 years? What is it? Okay, the Hebrew for day literally means this. It means to be hot. The warm, yeah, isn't that good? It's nice when it's hot, isn't it? It was cold this morning. Wasn't it? Who enjoyed the cold at 6 o'clock this morning? Yeah, Mark did. Did you go out for a walk with a dog 6 o'clock? Not quite that early, but you went out for a walk. The warm hours of the day, or a 24-hour period, or it means one sunset to the next. So if we take the next day, that's one day. Who wrote the first 5 books of the Bible? Moses. Was he at the start with God? Was he there on the day? We don't know, do we? We do know because he wasn't there. Because in the beginning, God, that's important. In the beginning, I know that's simple. In the beginning, God. God, not man. Don't want to hear what man has to say about the beginning. Let's hear what God has to say about the beginning. Because he was there and we have a written record of it. Here it is right here, whether we believe that or we don't believe it. So Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, is right. But under the inspiration, quite rightly, Julie, of the Holy Spirit, look what he has to say. And I know he wrote Genesis 1 because he could have just copied that, couldn't he? I wrote Genesis 1, so I'll write it in Exodus 20:11 as well. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. So if we take one day today as being a 24-hour period, and we take a day then as being a 24-hour period, why should, when we read the word day in Scripture, for it to mean anything other than a 24-hour period? Why should we? For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. You know what? I'm an unashamed, literal 6-day creationist. Please don't shout me down. Some believe it's impossible to believe in a literal 6-day of creation. Some believe that it's impossible. Yes, it's impossible, isn't it? When we think about it. It's also impossible to believe a virgin can give birth to a baby. It's also impossible to believe a man can live inside a fish for 3 days and 3 nights. It's also impossible to believe a man can walk on water. It's also impossible to believe a dead man can be raised to life again. It's also impossible to believe the sea can be parted and for people to walk across it on dry ground. These things are impossible. These things are supernatural. Do we believe literally that Jesus died? Do we believe in a literal Jesus? Do we believe that he raised people from the dead? But that's impossible. It goes against nature. It goes against everything that we could believe. But then that's a miracle, isn't it? God is the God of miracles. You're a miracle. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a miracle. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a walking miracle. You know, does it really matter Does it really matter whether God created the earth in 6 days or 16 billion? Does it really matter? You know what? I think it does. Because if we start taking the literal translation of Scripture and make it symbolic or allegorical, then we're in trouble. Then we would question, did Jesus really come? There are ministers that stand in pulpits and say, we don't need to believe in the virgin birth anymore. There are ministers that stand in pulpits and say, we don't need to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ anymore. If we don't, then we're dead in our sin, and there's no resurrection for us. Please, I'm going to keep studying and learning more about God's word until I fall over and I am no more. I'd encourage you to do the same. Don't believe everything that I say. Don't believe everything you see or read on the internet. You wouldn't want someone who's who's become a surgeon by reading stuff on the internet, would you? Would you let him operate on you on Monday? Exactly. Right. I'll tell you what I'd like us to do, if that's okay. If you're able to, can you stand? We're going to sing a song. Jesus is the one we love. Jesus is the one we adore. We sing songs about creation. We're going to sing a song about creation now. And I'd just like us to just worship for a moment, if that's all right with you.
Praise Him all.
Time. And we've got to realize that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. What is man that you are mindful of him? God has got to keep all these planets spinning perfectly in time. Make sure the sun rises, make sure it sets, make sure there's enough rain on the earth, make sure there's enough clouds. And yet in all of that, God is mindful of man. The Bible says that he's created us in his image, in his likeness. God said to God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, he said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Anything other than that is a lie. Maybe this is for someone, I didn't mean to say this, but maybe you've been told you're a mistake. You were a mistake when you were born, you were never wanted. That is a lie. Anyone ever told you that? I'll tell you this, my friend, that God loves you and God wants you. You're not a mistake. And if we were to read through redemption, through Genesis, we'll see, and read through our Bibles that God had a plan of redemption for man. We're going to live eternally with God or eternally separated from God. And you know, friend, it's our choice. God's not saying eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you know, pick anyone we want and disregard the rest. Jesus died for every person on the planet. He died once for all people, for all eternity. He became a sacrifice for us because of man's sin. The first man, Adam, plunged the earth into sin by sinning, and death spread to all men. But Jesus had a plan. God had a plan to send Jesus to die in our place. And friend, you're here in church today, which is great. And I don't believe you're here by accident. Maybe you're someone who's never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Going to church doesn't make us a Christian. Confessing that Jesus died for us, that he took all of our sin and was buried and he rose again. If we confess that, we're saved, the Bible says. It's that simple. Going to church is good. Do that after you're saved. But there are some people in our churches, sadly, I don't know whether they're saved or not. We need to make sure. Or maybe you're here today and you're backslidden. Maybe you've been hurt by church. You thought, I'm never going to go to church again. It's too painful. I'm not going there. I'm not going to go back. But you're here today. I don't believe, friend, you're here by accident. God's drawn you here. And I want to say, friend, you can turn your back on Jesus, but he will never turn his back on you. He loves you, died for you. And you want to come back? Do you want to come back today? Jesus is waiting with open arms and saying, come back, son, come back, daughter. I love you. I want a relationship with you. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you'd like to do that this morning, when I was looking around, just raise your hand up and say, that's me. I want to commit my life to Jesus. I want to serve him. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Just put your hand up and say, that's me. Come on, be brave. He died a cruel death with his hands raised for us. Can't we raise our hands for him today? Is that you, friend? Maybe you're embarrassed. We have a prayer team afterwards. You want to come and speak to them afterwards, that's fine. What about the second person that I'm speaking about, the one that has tried church? You tried it and it just didn't mean anything to you. It wasn't relevant to you. Friend, it should be relevant to you. It should be. And I want you to, if you can, if you're brave enough to say, I'm here today, I want to give God another chance. I want to come back to him. Is that you? Just raise your hand and I'll pray for you after the service. Anybody here that's brave enough to say, yeah, that's me? I want to